Okay. What I would like to do today is give a summary of some of our research over the past 20 years on Datura, which is one of the basic medicinal plants of Mexico. There we go. Okay. First of all, what is Mega Mexico? It's a term that we coined when we published our first book on biodiversity of Mexico back in 1992, and it essentially takes a look at natural boundaries and distribution of plants for putting up boundaries for what is Mexico. And if we take a look here, we have the political Mexico, and we have the Mega Mexico. Essentially, if we take a look at Mexico, which is one of either number three or number five in terms of being mega diverse, we find here that Mexico, I have a pointer, I guess I'm supposed to talk like this, Mexico has about 10% endemic genera, and about half of the species are endemic. We took a look at Mega Mexico, extending the natural distribution of the plants. We find that we have 17% endemic genera. Almost three quarters of the species are endemic to Mexico. So this is a sort of new model that we're working on in terms of evaluation. Whoop. If we take a look at the nomenclature, in particular for evaluating ethnobotanical literature, it's important because the taxonomy has been very confusing. Not as many species as Smilax, but it is a plant that has been just around in terms of the nomenclature. And here we have, from Linnaeus up into our group's work, a nomenclature. We can see not only do the species change in terms of their synonymy and so forth, I'll just use the lines here so you can get an idea how it changes over time with the taxonomist, but also jumps around in terms of their infragenetic classification. The sections were essentially established by Bernhardt back in 1833 as part of his pharmacological work of Datura, and essentially into three sections, Datura, Serrata Caules, and Dutra. And over time, what we found, and this is a color code I'll be using throughout the talk, what we found is that essentially Dutra needs to be split. Some of our morphological work, taking a look in particular key at reproductive characters, about 50 characters in total, essentially we find that we come up with this relationship here. Normally, this group and this group here were included in the original Dutra complex, but we can see it's split into two, and quite markedly so. In terms of ethnotaxonomy, we see that the large flowered ones are essentially Toloache manso, Toloache grande, and the smaller flowered ones are Toloache bruta or chica. So we can see there's a sort of parallel in terms of ethnoclassification. Taking a look at some of the seed characters, we find we're using about 42 different kinds of characters as well as anatomical features that we can actually look very closely at the seeds and be able to differentiate them. In particular, we use 32 characters for a phonetic analysis here of the seeds, and essentially what we come out here with are three sections back to the old Bernhardt classification. So the external morphological characters give us four, and the seeds give us three. In particular, this is important. Here's Datura discolor, which is illustrated here. Certain species have a caruncula or ileosome, which is a food body rich in amino acids and sugars and distributed by ants. And as we can see here, from the Codex de la Cruz by the end of the manuscript, the first herbal of America, the association with ants are clearly stated. In fact, one of the synonyms in Nahuatl refers to the plant that grows on ant hills. Now, if we take a look at isozymes, which was part of our study of the popular genetics of Datura in Mexico, we find that we can split the Dutra subgenus or section into two distinct groups. And you can see here one is in one branch, the other is in the other branch. So obviously the Dutra was an artificial classification. But we ended up with isozyme work on four sections. Just recently, we've published the molecular phylogeny of this group. And the important point here is that we've gone back to the three sections within the genus. Brugmansia used to be in Datura, is clearly distinct from the rest of the group here, this clade here in terms of Datura. We have the Stramonium group here, the Tura subsection. We have the Ceratocollis, which is the aquatic species. And then the Dutra is clearly divided in subclades over here. The only thing is that we spent 3 years trying to see what was going on here, because one group of this Dutra jumped into the other group. And this is what reemphasizes Jan Salek's comment yesterday, is that you have to take a look at your data and believe in it, because I really wasn't convinced. Still not convinced, but the data don't lie. If we map over the morphological characters here, we can see, for instance, fruit positions and flowers were very important. We'll just look at fruits here for the case. We can see, in terms of the division of the sections, we have over here our tree, and this is the Datura group here, one Dutra group here, another Dutra group in the Ceratocollis, Equista brugmansia. And we see the morphological characters really don't line up with the molecular data. If you take a look at fruit position, not at all. Even worse when you take a look at fruit types. But we take a look at seeds, and the seeds match up with three sections, as we saw in the seed anatomy morphology, also three sections going back to the Bernhardt's classification. Now, this is important because this has to do in part with sympatry and reproductive isolation, which we won't get into today. But we're also interested in looking at the distribution geographically. And we can see here that all 13 species are native to Mexico. Half are endemic species. And there are two areas of concentration of species diversity. One in the Rio Balsas Valley, and the other in southwestern Chihuahua in the Barranca region. Because of time, I see Don's looking at this clock here. We'll move on to another theme besides geography. Here we're looking at the distribution related to 21 different environmental factors with the ecological niche model. Essentially, what we find here are those 21, longitude, the precipitation of the driest quarter of the year, altitude, and the average temperature during the warmest quarter of the year best explain the distribution of these species throughout Mexico. So they're very particular. And this, in part, may explain why not all Datura species are weedy. The Datura stramonium is the weediest species, and it's found throughout all these different biogeographical provinces, but the endemic species are not. In terms of the evidence of their use over time, we don't have time to get into everything. I'll just give a couple examples. One, I think, is one of the more fascinating ones, includes petroglyphs. In basically California, Baja California, and Texas. And essentially, the people would take these plants under ceremonial conditions, and being a deliriant, it would exaggerate certain features such as size, the ability to move, fly, and things of that sort. So we can see here the exaggeration of size, we can see here the Datura capsules, and the reduction of the head by the extension of the arms. Here's the Datura. I can't identify it yet. Can't get any DNA off the petroglyph. But one of the things also is very important is that associated with the archaeological digs, there were as all these the seeds were found as well, along with various ceremonial items. This is in the case of the Rio Pecos in Texas. In the historical literature, we have quite a bit of documentation. In particular, the Sahagún, which is essentially our field guide to plants at the time of the conquest, we have the strong documentation of Datura as anti-inflammatory medicine, in particular Datura stramonium here. Here's Datura inoxia in the section dealing with abuse of the Datura. Of course, this was from the viewpoint of the Spaniards, not from the viewpoint of the Aztecs. But here we can see essentially it was documented in terms of being a plant that made one drunk or mad. In terms of the use of Datura in Mexico, as I said, we have 13 species. Six species are registered in a survey of about almost 200 references now. We find 24 specifically talking about the use over time of Datura. Most of the common uses deal with medicinal aspects. The dominant application is for analgesic and anti-inflammatory properties. In about half of those reports deal with Datura stramonium, which is a worldwide weed today. We can see here in terms of the preparation, basically just warm up the leaf and put it onto the area that's infected or that's inflamed. and also is usually the leaf that is used. In terms of the chemical composition, well, all of us know it's full of lots of nice propane alkaloids. We've been able to identify 33 alkaloids now in our studies of the various species in Mexico. But we're also interested in finding out what's the active principle in terms of its principal use as a medicinal plant. And after three master's degree students, we don't know still. We can see here in the summary, if we take a look at the complete abstract, here's our positive control here. With the complete extract, we get the positive control of the, in this case here, the analgesic properties. But if we start fractioning out, in particular looking at alkaloid fraction, no activity whatsoever. We start taking out individual fractions here, and it loses its ability. So it appears to be a synergistic component to the its use. In terms of domestication, there is one species that's domesticated, the Turumetel. It's a plant with double flowers. It's lost the spines. It's not as fuzzy, etc. And here we have in Chiapas one of the home altars where it's used as a part of the ceremonial for home religious activities. It's a plant that was early documented in Europe as a domesticated plant. However, there are some studies now, both by linguists and by an Indian molecular botanist, who claims that this plant may have been introduced or present in the sub-Indian continent a millennia ago. There's still a lot of controversy about that, but we're in the process of looking at that more carefully. Today, we can see that toloache is still used in the markets, basically as an analgesic property and anti-inflammatory property. It is illegal to sell that in Mexico, so that's why you often find it mixed up into all the greenery there. So you either have to have to know who your vendors are, or you have to have a sharp eye to pick it out. It is also a plant which is abused, depending on how you want to define that. On one hand, the women in Mexico go around entoloachando los hombres. They make the men go mad, so they don't go off with other women or whatever. That's why we have a strong group of only male, only investigators working on this problem. But it's also become quite popular here is a recreational drug. And this is where there's been a lot of problems lately in terms of delirium, kids wandering around, some of them crossing the border in Juarez and El Paso. It is called in Mexico Juarez tea, for instance. And of course, a lot of the drug cartels are using this to drug as some of their people. Also, just as a highlight, although we're not into the Caribbean area, it is also known as zombie cucumber, which is was used for making zombies. Okay. In terms of the contemporary use, it is a ceremonial plant that is used with a certain amount of restriction among different groups. This is just one of the studies, one of my students here, looking at its use among the Huicholes. Most of us know about the Huicholes with their bidirectional migration, with peyote and so forth. But as in all Mesoamerican cultures, there's a yin and a yang. There are counterparts in the world. And the counterpart to lofofora, the peyote, is giri. This is solandra and datura. And basically, it's a combination of the four elements of the world. Here's one of the Huichol paintings here dealing with that tour exhibited, but essentially it is expressed as part of the fire. And on one hand, the people associated with Hikuri are associated with purity, order. That's why they have their bidirectional migratory programs and so forth, programmed pilgrimages. And Kiri, basically associated with disorder, cowardliness, power, commerce, and these are the Huicholes that you see who emigrate from Jalisco, Nayarit, to other parts of Mexico. So this is where you find the association with cultural characteristics, and also in the circus sites within the Huichol area, that peyote are farmed within the ceremonial center, and the datura is planted around the outside of the ceremonial centers. In summary, Mexico is a home to all species of the genus. Five species are endemic. They don't go outside the boundaries. The morphological isozyme characters recognize four sections. However, the DNA, chloroplast DNA in particular, shows that we have three sections, and these do not correlate with the traditional conventional taxonomic characters. The greatest species richness is essentially in the Riobalsis area, which is a very important area for domestication of plants in Mesoamerica. The geographic distribution is associated with latitude, humidity, and altitude. There is a continuity of use of this plant. However, as in many cases, it is something which is strictly controlled by the culture and very difficult for outsiders to become involved. The tropane alkaloids are very important in terms of the producing the effects that we find associated with ceremony and toxicity. However, its medicinal applications still elude us. We still need to work on that. And I'd like to thank my collaborators and my students for part of their work, and also the various organizations that supported our studies. Thank you very much.